You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Hour number two, Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'm Paul Gallant. Vanessa Richardson up in Indianapolis with her family. Her father passed away. It really sucks. And we're thinking about her. We're wishing her the best, her family the best. And send some love her way on social media. She's at Sports Vanessa. I'm sure she would absolutely love to hear from everybody. And she definitely misses being on the air. I've talked with her a little bit over the last couple of days. And, it's obviously a really difficult time for her to go through. So we're all going through it together. You know, we are a weird, dysfunctional family, whether it's just Vanessa, Sean, and I, or it's y'all listening with us every single day, and especially you Twitch creatures, twitch.tv/ESPN975, and you guys have been especially sweet today. Question of today's show is, what are you most concerned about with the Houston Astros going into the 2022 season? And I have been gauging my concern levels, my panic levels, using Nicolas Cage, because I can't wait for the new Nicolas Cage, Pedro Pascal movie to come out. The unbearable weight of massive talent. It's got 100 on Rotten Tomatoes already. I think it comes out in about 2 weeks or so. Can't wait for it. I'm obsessed with Nick Cage. It's probably a little unhealthy how much I like Nick Cage, given that he's not that good of an actor. But we are going on the Nick Cage scale of freaking out from a one where we're not feeling that freaked out, even though we're Nick Cage and we're always a little freaked out.
This situation, it's very important to remain calm.
I mean, how calm are you if you're driving a car like that? All the way up to a five where we feel like there is a bunch of bees being put on our face by a bunch of female cultists.
Oh, no, not the bees! Not the bees! Ah!
Most of the responses that we have gotten, whether it's been on Twitter or on the text line 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN, have been the bullpen. And yeah, I mean, after Ryan Pressly, how do you feel? Do you really think that this awesome rotation is going to be able to go deep every single night? No, and honestly, with the way that baseball is going, you, for the most part, want your starting pitchers to go like five innings or so. So that's been number one. I honestly feel like this is an underrated one. Comes from Splitty. It's going to cost me $64 in gas to go to a game. Yeah. Ugh. You know, I've been procrastinating getting gas this week. Full disclosure. Boy may or may not have lost his wallet while out on the town this weekend. Left it on a table, looked up, it was just gone. So probably a lack of alert me. Didn't see it. I did cancel all my cards like immediately afterwards. But I've been basically delaying as long as I possibly can. Because I do have credit cards. I do have the ability to actually spend money. But I've been delaying as long as I possibly can to go get gas from Costco. But I got to go get a new Costco membership. And my car right now is definitely like plus empty. I let the car run all the way down like a crazy person. I'm never panicked about running out of gas though, for whatever reason. I'm always like, yeah, I'll be fine. Eventually this is going to get me, whether it's because I screw up the car, because I know if you drive a car with not a lot of gas in the gas tank, it can actually hurt the engine. I also know that eventually I'm just going to be out of gas on the side of a road calling AAA for like, hey, can you bring me a gallon? Can you bring me a gallon of gas for like $6 or so? But anyway, I'm delaying that as much as I possibly can. That is something worthy of freaking out about going into this season.
This situation, it's very important to remain calm.
That's you on the roads, right?
Right, that's me on the road.
Remain calm and then, you're running out of gas.
Right, exactly, Sean Mays behind the glass. Sometimes I'm driving over, potholes at like 50 miles per hour. Other times I'm maybe not the best parker and, even though I've got the rear view camera, maybe I've got like a big scratch on the left side of my car and two cracks on the back of my car. I'm sorry, Baker Nissan. I love you guys. You treated me great, but like I haven't taken the best care of it. I'm trying my best. Yeah, living my best life. What concern level do you guys have about the rest of baseball? And look, we're Astros fans. We're arrogant. You should be. You should be walking wherever you go. Like you have invisible lat syndrome with your chest puffed out, like you can't even fit through a door, like some of those hardos that you'll see at the gym from time to time. That's how you should be walking around from place to place. But like privately, are you actually concerned about anybody outside of the Astros? You look at the Mariners, I got to say, I put that Twitter question out, and since half of my audience is in Seattle and the other half is here, there's a lot of cocky Mariners fans out there. A lot. And I do not blame them. And I do like Mariners fans. Like, we're in an open relationship. It's fine for me. Like, for me, I can root for the Astros and I can root for the Mariners. It's okay for now. Until the Mariners actually do something, like I could say, oh yeah, they're cute, right? If the Mariners actually start doing damage, though, then I'm going to have to jump off that one and just like redact all of my comments going forward about how much I enjoy that team. Mariners fans are really getting cocky. There's a line in Gladiator said to Maximus by his like second in command as they're about to fight, what, the Germans, the French, Nazis, I don't know. Whatever the case, they're out there. And right after this German dude who finds like the Roman envoy chops off his head and throws it off a cliff and goes, "Is it that it that dude?" The second in command to Maximus turns to Maximus and says, "A people should know when they are conquered. Mariners fans historically should know when they're conquered. Maybe we are looking at them like the Romans looked at the Gauls back before they had completely conquered the Celts and that entire region of Europe. Maybe that's how we should be still looking at them. But I do think it's going to be a little tougher." It is funny, though, to see the Oakland A's where they're at right now. See, they made another trade that traded away Sean Manaea. I really want somebody more skilled than me to go and put together a video to that scene in Goodfellas after the Lufthansa heist where they're playing Layla by Derek and the Dominoes in the background, the piano part. And they just show all the bodies of the people in the Lufthansa heist that get killed along the way. And you can just, instead of those characters, you could just replace them with a bunch of random Oakland A's. Like as you slowly go through that montage, they're dead. It's hilarious. I can't stand that team. They're raising ticket prices for their fans. They're trying to move. They always are cheap. Can't stand them. So it's great to see that they're officially dead. But the Angels, everyone loves the Angels every single year. Every single prediction this year is like, oh, the Angels, second place this year. Because everyone has a giant pants tent for Mike Trout. And everyone likes Shohei Ohtani. I don't think they're challenging the Astros. I don't. I don't take them seriously. Never will. Never have. Ooh, Mike Trout's war is a 9. Yeah, they're like 60 and 90. Like, relax. Shohei Ohtani, bro, did you see he could pitch and hit? Okay, well, what's going on with the rest of the rotation? If he's your ace, what's going on with the rest of the lineup after Trout and Ohtani? Shouldn't I be more scared of the Rangers? What are you most concerned about with the Astros going into this coming season? 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Not the Yankees. No. Not with all the whining that they're doing. Like, clearly, they have a lot of issues that they're trying to deflect from by talking about the 2017 Astros as much as they have this offseason. It's been 5 years, guys. Jeez. Get over it. Is it the Boston Red Sox? I do think that the Red Sox are the one team that is in the American League that actually can say, yeah, we're on the Astros level over the last 5 years. Now, the Astros have obviously beaten them in two of the three playoff series that they've gone up against them. But we're talking about two teams that each have a World Series, that have made a couple of American League Championship Series appearances. That's got to count for something. Pretty crazy that the Red Sox keep winning World Series, too. Can you, like, lose one when you make it? The Blue Jays are interesting. They have spent a lot of money. They have a young core. That is the team that I'm looking at and I'm wondering the most about. Because I also feel like with Toronto, there's always a chance that they blow up. I did tease going into this segment, hey, we are getting some more hints as far as what the Texans might do. And I guess that they're going to talk to Kayvon Thibodeau, who has compared himself to Jadeveon Clowney. And apparently, it's not a bad comparison, at least based off of the way Lance Erline was describing him this morning on the bench. This one I'm more excited about, though. Any player from Georgia that plays on that defense, I don't care who it is, draft him. I'd be fine with it. And apparently, Trevon Walker is going to meet with the Texans. And it seems like Trevon Walker is going to be a top 10 pick. He has meetings lined up with the Jaguars, the Lions, number one, number two overall picks, the Texans, the Jets, who have two top 10 picks. Check that. Yeah, they still have the two top 10 picks. More on that in the later. The Giants, also two top 10 picks. and the Panthers. So he's meeting with all the top teams. I wouldn't hate it if the Texans drafted him. I like Georgia players. I like those SEC players, but especially that Georgia defense, man. They were so scary last year. What are you most concerned about with the Houston Astros this year? 713-780-3776. And say you are willing as the Texans to trade one of your first round picks for a player who is a proven commodity. Would you do it for DK Metcalf? Because one team tried. You'll hear who next right here. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
Vanessa and Gallant continues on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Vanessa's up in Indianapolis with her family. Her father passed away. Really sad news. So send her your best. We've been getting great messages on the text line. 713-780-ESPN. We've been getting great messages. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. And also, I'm sure a lot of you guys have been sending it to her on her social media. She's at Sports Vanessa, both on Instagram and on Twitter. I'm sure she would appreciate some kind words that you guys have been great with today. It's been awesome to see, really has been. You know, I just feel absolutely heartbroken for her. And, I mean, how can you feel anything but that? We do have some text. The question of today's show is, all right, well, what are you most concerned about going into this season with the Houston Astros? And I've been trying to gauge it using the Nick Cage scale of panic, which is 1 through 5. Nick Cage freaks out a lot. What movie have you seen that he hasn't freaked out in, where he has just been calm the entire time? Shoot, even in National Treasure, I feel like he gets drunk one night and was like making fun of a bunch of limeys for having British accents and for, you know, having a sausage biscuit for breakfast or whatever they eat. I don't know what they eat. There's a British dish called Spotted Dick that always made me laugh when I read Harry Potter books. I don't know why it made me laugh. It just did. No weird thoughts going through my head. No, not me. Couldn't be me. 713-780-3776. Biggest concern for me is losing Brent Strom. That's a great one. You know, how often do you hear about a pitching coach the way that you heard about Brent Strom? I mean, that guy, I felt like when I was first getting into the Astros and they were first turning things around, the amount of times that Brent Strom would just be brought up randomly was very high. He's now with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Are your young pitchers, Framber Valdez, Jose Urquidy, and Luis Garcia, going to be able to continue to make progress? Is Justin Verlander going to have all the tools he needs to effectively last the whole season coming off of Tommy John? Lance McCullers, same thing with the arm injuries that you always have with him. How are those guys going to do without him? I think that's a great text. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. A text, where on earth do you live that it costs $65 to drive to a baseball game? I think there are spots in Houston, if you're driving a pickup truck and you're stuck in rush hour traffic to try to get to a 7 o'clock game, 100%. That's got to be possible, right? But I would imagine you're like in Conroe, maybe. Conroe, maybe a little further north than that.
You wouldn't be spending an entire tank, I'd imagine.
Yeah, you're probably right. Maybe you're driving from Austin?
Yeah. Yeah, you'd have to drive from like Austin.
Okay. So we got to go from Austin. Okay. Just listen. We're asking the tough questions. I don't know how gas works anymore because I was so used to when I was last here in Houston, I basically could walk to work if I wanted. I never did. Take that environment. We're all dying anyway. It's fine. Take that. But I always drove. It was nice. It was like a 2-minute drive to work. I remember sometimes I'd be like annoyed. Oh, God, traffic today is terrible. Or it was like a 5-minute drive because I had to like stay at the stop sign for a little bit of time. Another text. Things you're most concerned about with the Houston Astros. I'm concerned about making it to another World Series and losing yet again. That's a 5 on the Nick Cage scale of panic. 100% Sean Mapes behind the glass, right? I mean, You get that far only to lose? I don't think there's anything worse. Scream for me, Nicholas. Scream for me.
Oh, no, not the beast! Not the beast!
Ah! 1 through 5, the Nick Cage Scale of Panic trademark. Right here, the Vanessa and Gallant radio program. Nothing worse than that. It just makes you think, like, this whole year, you go that far. And it's one thing if you've never been to a World Series before. But when you've been to 3 and you've lost 2 of them, I mean, it's a good thing you won the first one. You are venturing towards Buffalo Bills territory. That's not fun. And, I mean, there are some similarities we've brought up before between the Astros and Chiefs and that Kansas City, same thing. Like, they keep on making it to the AFC conference title, but the last couple of years, what's been happening? And they did get their Super Bowl, but, I mean, they've been there 4 times. They've lost the conference title twice. They've lost the Super Bowl once. 162 games, an entire playoffs. You get to the World Series and you lose, and you've already tasted a championship. Yeah, man, I don't even want to think about that. You're putting some bad energy on this show, man. Come on, man! What are you doing here? What do you think I am here? There's a great Nicolas Cage movie that I think there's one where he thinks he's a vampire, which is the one where there's this picture of him saying, "You don't say," before he freaks out. I have a tank top of that. But there's another movie where he's wearing a mustache. I don't even know what it is. I just know that every time I go up on Nicolas Cage, look up Nicolas Cage freak out montages, there's this one movie where he's wearing a mustache and he's just absolutely preposterous. Like, it's not even possible for him to be as ridiculous as he is. And I'm going to need to look that up during a commercial break. You are the Houston Texans. You have the 3rd overall pick. You have the 13th overall pick. And you're probably going to either trade those picks back to get more first-round picks, or you're going to probably draft a pass rusher or a tackle with that first pick that you have, and we'll see what happens with pick number 13. But would you be willing to trade that pick for a player that is a known commodity and then to pay said player? I ask that because the New York Jets apparently offered the number 10 overall pick for DK Metcalf of the Seattle Seahawks. During this great offseason of wide receivers moving from one team to another because teams are afraid they're not going to be able to sign them to an extension. Thanks, Bill O'Brien, for starting this movement. But Devontae Adams goes to the Las Vegas Raiders, gets a massive deal. Tyreek Hill goes to the Miami Dolphins, gets a massive deal. And now all of a sudden teams are wondering, shoot, are we going to be able to keep these wide receivers? I am of the belief that you got to be careful when it comes to dedicating as much cap space to your wide receiver as some of these teams across the league have been doing. Got to be careful, because is it really working out in the end? It's one thing if you're paying a guy like $15 million a year like Cooper Kupp is making, or like Robert Woods was making with the Los Angeles Rams, but when you get into that $20 million plus territory, maybe it works out for you like it has for the Bucks, but they have Tom Brady, who's probably taking a little bit less money just so that he can have a Mike Evans and so that he can have a Chris Godwin. It's a little different when you're talking about, hey, I'm a team that doesn't really have a whole lot of anything, but I do have DK Metcalf. The Dolphins aren't that far removed from that. I mean, Tyreek Hill, having him, that's great. But what happens if your quarterback isn't very good? So my question is, would you trade pick number 3 for DK Metcalf? Because the odds are, let's face it, the odds are higher that DK Metcalf will continue to be one of the better wide receivers in the game. I think he had a little bit of a down year last year, but part of that had to do with Russell Wilson all of a sudden not playing the same way that he used to. Or you're rolling the dice on a player who, as a top 10 pick, might be an all-pro for you someday, might be a pro bowler, but is much more likely to be a 4-year starter for you that you possibly give a 5th-year option to. And at worst case scenario, the guy just sucks. You know DK Metcalf's good. You know you'd have to pay him. The salary cap balloons every single year. Would you rather have pick number 3 and what would come with pick number 3, or in DK Metcalf, a guy that is one of the best offensive players in the league, assuming that he has a guy throwing him the football that is capable of throwing it downfield? And by the way, I think Davis Mills has shown he's got a cannon for an arm. I'd be very intrigued to see what those two could do together. I would think about it. It doesn't make sense where the Texans are now. That's the only reason I would ultimately say no. But I would think about it. there will come a point where, with all the picks that the Texans have in the coming years, thanks to the Deshaun Watson trade, there might come a point where they should be looking at their first-round picks as a final piece. And I'm hoping that that is going to be not next year, because I don't expect it to be next year either. But 2024, I am hoping that we will have seen enough signs of progress from this team that we can actually say they are a borderline contender again. And if they have an extra first-round pick, I would like to see them use it to potentially trade for somebody. But that's a long, long way down the road, which is depressing. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. The question of today's show, what is your concern level? What is your biggest concern for the Houston Astros going into this coming season? And bonus, on the Nick Cage scale of panic, 1 through 5, how panicked are you about it? Mark also said, in addition to injuries, pain, you're not panning out. Correa was signable, but there's no reason to doubt their scouting to this point since it's almost been immaculate. There is a lot of reason to give faith to this organization, but I do think it's different with James Click than it is with Jeff Luhnow. We all have to admit that. Andrew Thompson says, I think Correa will have an impact, his loss. By the way, game one for the Twins, snowed out. Actually happening. Carlos, I mean, there's probably a way you could back out of a contract in the last 24 hours before a season, right? No? If Jeremy Pena balls out, continued Andrew Thompson, who tweeted at me, the Astros front office will look like a genius, but you have to hope this happens. The trade deadline will allow them to make moves if needed. Probably right, and I think that they're going to need to make some moves in the bullpen. Are we really expecting Pena to ball out? I know he's played well this spring. Ball out? I would be satisfied with a average OPS with a guy that's hitting, what? Because this seems to be accepted these days. I hate it. Old school baseball mind Paul still can't get over the fact that a guy should be batting, you know, towards 300. I hate seeing a guy who's like got a 200 batting average. It's like, yeah, well, he's a part of that everyday lineup because of the power. Wait, what? He's got like 300 strikeouts. Yeah, but like he also has like 40 home runs. He's batting 200. It's fine. Like what Chris Carter used to be. Remember him? That's a blast from the past, huh? Chris Carter for the Astros. I think this was he on the 2015 team? I know he was there in 2014, where Chris Carter would just get like, he would slap like 50 dingers, and I think he was hitting like 150. Exaggerating a lot here. But he was smacking home runs. What else do we have? Things you are most concerned about with the Houston Astros. Paul, this is from Thomas. The American League West is not going to be as easy for the Astros. Never know what you're going to get out of the Angels. Seattle, not sure what's there yet, but Houston's not as deep as they've been in previous years. They're still pretty damn deep, though. You know, it's hard to imagine one of these teams really overtaking them. 713-780-3776, your biggest concern for the Houston Astros going into this season. It is right around the corner. What are you freaked out about on the Nick Cage scale of panic? Coming up next on the Vanessa and Gallant radio program. Interesting developments when it comes to Deshaun Watson going forward. And on top of that, as we continue to get closer and closer to the start of the baseball season, there's another sport that once again is doing something violent, and I really want more of it. Am I a bad person? Possibly. Vanessa and Gallant. Vanessa's up in Indianapolis with her dad, who just passed away, with her family as well. I'm Paul Gallant. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Warrior sound!
Real. Let's go! Fun. Sports. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Vanessa's up in Indianapolis with her family. Her father passed away, so our thoughts are with her, her family as well. And if you haven't already, please send some love her way. I'm sure she'd really appreciate it. And by the way, look, guys, did you know that ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 is your home for the Sugarland Space Cowboys, baby? They're cowboys and they play baseball in space. They also played in Sugarland, but they also can be heard right here on ESPN 97.5. And last night, they lost a close one, 7-6, to the Sacramento River Cats. Pedro Leon, though, had 3 hits. How about that? And you can hear him bounce back. Hearing it on ESPN 92.5 at 8:35. Tune in and support the Sugarland Space Cowboys. Come on, guys. Join the movement. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. The question of today's show. What are you most concerned about when it comes to the Astros going into this season on opening day eve? Juan has a thought on Jose Altuve? Juan, what's going on?
Hey, well, you know, Dustin Pedroia and David Eckstein around the 10 to 12 year mark kind of fell off. And, you know, baseball's not great on bodies under, you know, 5'8", 5'7". And I'm hoping that he can hold on and be the Altuve that we all love, you know, with average and power. But it's about that time where, you know, it can start going downhill. Father Time is always winning.
You are 100% right on that one. And look, the good news is Jose Altuve is turning 32 in May. I mean, he's younger than me. That makes me feel a little bit better about him and appreciate the phone call. But I got to say, you add him up to some of the other older members of the Astros. It's weird to think that Yuli Gurriel won a gold glove and a batting crown at age 30 bleeping seven, but he's going to be 38 in June. Michael Brantley is going to turn 35 in May. That's, I think, a very reasonable concern as far as on the Nick Cage scale of panic. I do think Altuve is pretty damn steady, but I'm going to give it a 3 out of 5. 3 out of 5 sounds like this.
What do you say we cut the chit-chat? A-hole!
Like, I'm starting to get concerned. But I'm just telling you to stop the chit-chat. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear about Altuve getting older. But it's fair. And you know what? He brought up some good examples. Dustin Pedroia in particular. Dustin Pedroia with the Red Sox at the very end. Like, good goodness. It just stopped completely altogether. David Eckstein, too. It's not to say that he's showing those signs of decline, but we are getting close to a point where it's going to have been a decade since Jose Altuve like really came onto the scene. Starting in 2014, 15, 16, 17. I mean, he was awesome over that four-year stretch. It's not to say he hasn't been great since then, but this is a guy that, yeah, I think you definitely do start to wonder, okay, how much longer is this going to last, or injuries going to start to pile up? I'll say that as far as the Astros' best players, Bregman and injuries with him, another smaller guy, maybe that's the one that you're looking at and thinking about. Pedroia, I mean, he missed 60 games with a quad injury, plays for 18 games, actually looked pretty good, but he comes back and he gets a hand injury too, and he's been banged up for a lot of the last two seasons. Is he going to be 100% healthy all year long? Like, you don't necessarily need him to be healthy for the full season, but now that you've lost yet another bat, it's still a great lineup. You still got Jordan, you still got Kyle Tucker, who, you know, might be even better than he was last year this coming season. You still have, I think, Michael Brantley, who's a capable hitter in left field. I wonder what happens when you eventually Jake Myers, when you eventually get him back in center field, I would assume that, you know, that's going to make you feel a little bit better than, obviously, Chaz McCormick and Jose Siri. But you got a pretty good lineup that can make up for one of those guys potentially going down. But with Bregman, that's the one I'm more concerned about when it comes to the injuries. They just keep on seeming to happen for him, and they are seeming to keep on. Why am I so verbally dyslexic all of a sudden? Whatever, doesn't matter. It's fine. I didn't need a big journalism degree. I didn't have a journalism degree from Syracuse University that I need to flex on people from time to time to make me feel better about myself as a talk show host. No, that's not me. I would never do that. Anyway, hey, what are you most concerned about with the Houston Astros going into this year? You know how to do it. Sean A. Mapes is behind the glass, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. What are you most concerned about, Sean, going into this season? Like, for me, number one, bullpen. How about you?
I think it's Lance McCullers and Justin Verlander, just the health aspect of it. Just once these guys start to break, I mean, Lance McCullers was dealing in the playoffs and then got scratched from the ALCS game one. And then it was, well, maybe he plays in the World Series. We'll see. Nope. won't play in the World Series, and now spring training's over, and he's still, Click said, weeks away from coming back with the team. This is not looking good, especially once you get around the elbow and forearm area. That's where you're getting the troubles. That has me very freaked out.
It is low-key funny thinking back that McCullers was somewhat blaming his injury on the owners in the lockout. Like, in a way, like, well, I can't really rehab it properly. Yeah. It's the owner's fault that my body's kind of falling apart. I liked it. Whatever.
That might be peak owners and players just blaming each other for everything, is the players being like, well, I can't rehab because of the owners.
Can't do it. Well, you can still work out, bro. There's like LA Fitnesses. No, I can't do it. Nah.
The team has a system for me.
Yeah,
there's
exactly.
No way for me to do it.
Nope, can't do it. That'd be a great excuse.
It's the one I would use.
There's got to be some players, I mean, who are sort of like, you're obviously not getting paid, so I doubt there were many, but there might have been some players who are like, yeah, I hate doing all this work.
Oh, I guarantee you someone did the Shaq, I got hurt on company time, I'll recover on company time.
Ooh.
Just postpone a surgery, you know?
Yeah, that's true. That is definitely possible.
Take it easy on the rehab, and then, oh, spring training's back. Need a couple weeks. Especially the hitters, where it's like, I don't want to have to do all this.
Every day? Ew. I want to stay home. I mean, I want to rehab. Get back out there. Listen, there are people listening right now who are that person at work. You're listening right now, and you're like, yeah, I mean, if I could do that, I would. I might have COVID, guys. I don't know.
Yeah, someone's looking for it, like, can I take lunch about 20 minutes early? And then, you know.
Oh, it's a doctor's appointment.
Yeah, lots of doctors.
Goes to happy hour.
Yeah.
I do know people who have used COVID as an excuse to get out of work. And one of these people, it's really funny, used the excuse so that they could do a job interview somewhere else. And then they actually got COVID a week later. I don't know what they used as the excuse that time around. I hope it all worked out for them, honestly. I haven't gotten a follow-up story on that. All right. So we do have a story update when it comes to Deshaun Watson. So Deshaun Watson had 18 women essentially say he's the best. In the wake of all of the criminal complaints, criminal misconducts, civil complaints, civil charges, all the things that were taking place with Deshaun Watson back in the day, his way of getting public PR support was to go and get 18 women who had been his massage therapists to produce statements of support. But now, a Texas judge has ruled Watson must respond to questions aimed at determining whether he had sex with one or more of the 18 therapists who came to his defense. Which could low-key suck for some of those therapists, because I don't know if their names are going to be made public, potentially, in a situation like this. But imagine you're just doing the massage thing, and all of a sudden that took place, and now you could potentially have your license looked at. You could have clients look at you a little bit differently because you did something like this. I suppose it might have been their choice, saying as they are giving these statements of support about Watson. But a Texas judge, because of the, of course, civil lawsuits that are against Watson, has ruled that Watson's going to have to respond to questions about that, as opposed to just saying nothing. And since we do know, per Rusty Harden, that some of Watson's massages became consensual sexual encounters, I'd imagine that some of these people actually did. So very curious to see how that's going to take place. One last thing. Before we get to our last segment of the show, and maybe I'm a bad person for this, but look, I talked about how on my little Twitch show that I do, twitch.tv/Gallant says, about this race that took place. It was in high school, and this was horrible, but it was kind of funny seeing, in a sick, demented way, in this track race, a guy like just getting absolutely clocked from behind from somebody else who was racing in the event. And I mean, it was horrible. That person, I hope, like, something happened. Like, he punched him in the back of the head. Something could have seriously happened. But is it bad that, like, I saw this and I thought to myself, you know, it would be kind of funny if, you know, those relay sticks that they use in the relay race, if all of a sudden people started using them as essentially like beating batons, like in Road Rash. Anyone remember that video game? You're riding on a motorcycle across the country and you could, like, kick people off their bikes and, like, beat them with, like, chains and nunchucks and stuff. Oh, there's a part of me that was sort of thinking to myself, I want to see this take place. in track. I'd watch it more, that's for sure. And I'd also watch tennis a little bit more if what took place in a match between kids continued to happen. Maybe this is the Will Smith effect, as some have suggested. But two of the world's top tennis players were playing each other. And they go at the very end of the match to mid-court over the net. And they reach out to shake each other's hand. And the one guy, as he is shaking the other tennis player's hands, he slaps him. The old razzle-dazzle. Good game. Smack! Just kidding. And it started like a mini Malice at the Palace for some random tennis players that are not even 18 yet.
In defense of Will Smith.
Oh, boy. That's a hot take, Sean Mapes. Let's hear it.
What a four-word start to... No, isn't this more of the Juwan Howard effect than the Will Smith effect?
Okay.
I feel like Juwan Howard is getting looked over on being the one who invented the... because it wasn't a full slap, but it was kind of a mush of the face. And that basically was this exact situation. I feel like Will Smith... obviously, bigger stage, took it to the next level, full-on slap, and then sit back down in your seat. But I feel like Juwan Howard's getting overlooked in the slap history of 2022.
Yeah, he definitely is. He definitely is. It's been forgotten. But honestly, I think rightfully so.
Also, I think Juwan Howard wants it to be forgotten.
Yes, definitely. You are correct, though. The Juwan Howard one is a lot closer because this is taking place during a moment where sportsmanship was supposed to take place, where Will Smith is just an actor who's above the law. I'm Paul Gallant. It is Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Vanessa up in Indianapolis with her family. Her father passed away. Really sad, heartbreaking news. And we're thinking about her, and we're hoping that she's going to be back here soon. But we obviously, you know, you got to spend time with your family. You got to take care of things. And hopefully, you know, they're sharing great memories of her dad. And she shared them online at Sports Vanessa. You should check out the post. It was really, I think, a beautiful tribute to her dad. It's on her Instagram. It's on her Twitter as well. Up next, we wrap up the show. What are you most concerned about with the Astros going into 2022? And a couple of funny stories before we hit the road and turn it over to the Killer Bees. ESPN 97.5,
92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Last chance to dance, Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'm Paul Gallant, Vanessa Richardson up in Indianapolis with her family. Her father passed away, and really just absolutely heartbreaking news. And if you haven't already, send her some love, send her family some love. And we're looking forward to her coming back and joining our little dysfunctional family right here, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. That is the number to text in and call. And then today's question is about the Astros. What are you most concerned about? Got a couple of interesting texts. This one, maybe he's concerned about it, or maybe he's just asking the question. Are we sure Gurriel is really 37? He might be 40. Suppose you never know. I mean, that would make that what he did last year one of the most incredible accomplishments. And we do know that this offseason he's lost, what, 20 pounds by stopping drinking Coke and by no longer eating pizza. Sounds like a pretty good diet.
It's crazy how he can do all those things and lead the league in batting average and then decide to stop it. If I was Yuli, I'd be like, whoa, it worked.
It clearly worked.
I'm
right.
37 leading the league in hits. So yeah, keep
good,
it going.
Good point, Sean. I mean, this is a sport where you can be a flabby, you know, sack of soup and still succeed. You know, I mean, Bartolo Colon's body is just essentially gelatin.
Yeah. Miguel Cabrera's never been, you know,
right,
fitness model.
No, not at all. Pablo Sandoval was eating a lot of food, clearly, for a while. It worked, didn't work out too long. There has to be a point, though, if you are getting later into your career where you take your diet a little bit more seriously. Because obviously, your stomach's ability to break things down, your body's ability to break things down changes as you get older. I know for me, I didn't always used to be able to check that. I used to be able to eat cheese. I can't anymore. I used to be able to drink milk. Can't anymore. Used to be able to eat ice cream. Can't anymore. Like, I randomly developed some sort of lactose intolerance over the course of my life. And it sucks because, you know, if I eat pizza, pizza's the one thing I really like cheese on. Everything else, eh, not so much. But now I have to, like, make sure I'm peeling off a good amount. Otherwise, I'm going to feel like absolute death the next day. And probably later on that night, get a little GI problems going on. A little GERD, G-E-R-D, something like that. No fun. Bad heartburn. It's terrible. I saw yesterday a tweet. We're going to cancel people for food takes today. What is your worst food take? And I have two. And I apologize for them. I can't control my taste buds. I don't like chocolate. I like Guinness. I love coffee. And yet, I hate chocolate. I have no idea why. Can't explain it. Never have liked chocolate. There was a time where I think I was like 5 years old, and my mom got some of those store brand oatmeal raisin cookies, and I reached into the bag to get one because I loved oatmeal raisin cookies. Still my favorite kind. And I took a bite, and it was oatmeal chocolate chip. And I was like, this is gross. And that traumatic experience kept me off of chocolate for a long period of time. Now, there is some chocolate I like. I like white chocolate. Does that make me a racist? I can't say. It's weird, though. That's for sure.
Not a great look.
No, definitely not Sean Mapes behind the glass. I also don't like cheese. I can't explain that one really that well, other than one time I was eating a bag of mozzarella cheese as a like 9-year-old, and it was moldy, and I didn't think anything of it. Ate it, and then got sick. Then I found out that cheese is actually mold, so I was eating just moldy mold, and that just kind of forever made cheese weird to me. Shrimp, another one. I don't like the texture. It's too, like, weirdly crunchy. And I'm always paranoid it's not going to be, like, prepared well, and then I might get sick from it, too. Because there's some places you go, like, ooh, it's the shrimp special. Like, well, why is it the shrimp special? They're just handing out, you know, salmonella or whatever the hell you get from that. Worst food takes. That was a fun thing to see yesterday on Twitter. At Gallant says, at ESPN97.5, at Sean A. Mapes. A text, mashed potatoes are disgusting. This is his cancelable food takes. I don't know, man. That one's tough. You do have to add things to it. We actually had a conversation about this while watching the national championship game. Potatoes are kind of nothing, right? You bake a potato. Does it really taste good? I mean, it's essentially just potato. Garlic mashed potatoes, great. Mashed potatoes, it's just kind of like, all right, here's this white thing that's probably going to take on whatever's put on it, whether it's butter or gravy. The same thing with like a baked potato. All right, you don't have chives on it and sour cream or butter or something like that. It's kind of like bland. Definitely could be nutritional for you. My Irish ancestors will tell you that. You know, famine, not cool. British taking advantage of the famine, not cool. Potatoes. Not really good. I can get behind that in a way. I'll just say that garlic mashed potatoes are amazing. They are fantastic. One last story before we hit the road. This is a little concerning. You remember when it used to just be Spirit and Frontier, where you're like, you get what you're paying for when you're on these airlines? Well, now there's another airline that's entered the equation because now all of a sudden they're having issues with flight cancellations over and over again. And there's this story. A man on a Southwest Airlines flight faces federal charges after, let's just say, taking himself to Happy Town at least 4 times during the flight. Antonio Sherald McGarity is accused of taking himself to Happy Town 4 times in the seat next to a female passenger. The woman took photos. When McGarity fell asleep, she told the flight crew what happened. They moved her to another seat on the flight. The woman turned the photos over to Phoenix police when the flight landed. Guess where this flight flew from? Seattle to Phoenix. Damn it, Seattle people. Listen, I try to give y'all a good rap, but like, come on. Can't you keep it in your pants? And also, 4 times?
How long is that flight?
Seattle to Phoenix is, I think, 3 hours. I've taken that flight before. It's not that long of a flight. Four times.
Also, ladies, after time number two or three, I'm pretty sure you can show the pictures to a flight attendant.
But it would be kind of weird to get up and show it. I don't know. I could understand someone being uncomfortable sharing that information. But good God. Four times. One flight. So maybe Southwest is now in the spirit zone. Spirit. Crushing your spirit. Frontier. Gonna need a beer. Southwest. Not the best. Terrible rhymes. You're welcome. It's going to wrap up today's edition of the Vanessa and Gallant radio program. We'll keep you posted on when Vanessa comes back to us. But in the meantime, send her your love. Losing your dad, it's absolutely horrible. And we're thinking about her right now. For Sean Mapes, behind the glass, for our texters, our Twitch audience, twitch.tv/ESPN975, our caller, Juan, as well. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. The Killer Bees are next on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.